and determines the size of its particles. Sifting involves separating the bran from the oat flour. If the milling is too fine, this sterilizes the bran and it loses almost all of its effectiveness. Likewise, if the bran is too coarse and has not been ground enough, its useful surface viscosity is lost. If the bran is not thoroughly sifted, it is not sufficiently pure and contains too much flour. However, really thorough sifting makes it too expensive. Working with agricultural engineers and the Copperological Study of Stools, we worked out an effectiveness index for bran to cover milling and sifting, which allows its best medicinal effects to develop. Milling should ideally produce particles with a medium plus size, technically called M2BIS. As for sifting, it is after it has been sifted for a sixth time, B6, that oat bran has negligible fast carbohydrate content. These two indexes together make up the overall M2BIS-B6 index. Most manufacturers, and Anglo-Saxon manufacturers in particular, only sell bran to be used in cooking, in porridge for example, which is a real national institution in Britain. They prefer bran to be milled very finely and are not that bothered about the sifting as long as the bran tastes soft and creamy but its medicinal effects are compromised. Meetings are scheduled at nutrition and dietetics conferences and symposia to discuss this work and to try and reconcile culinary and nutritional needs. I'm currently working with international manufacturers and distributors, sharing these results with them to try and get them to adopt the milling sifting index, which makes production a little more expensive but produces more nutritional bran. In the meantime, the recommended type of bran can be found on our website, www.thedukandiet.co.uk. During the attack phase, I prescribe a dose of 1.5 tablespoons of oat bran per day. I recommend eating it as a savoury galette or sweetened with aspartame and prepared as follows. The Dukan Oat Bran Galette. Put 1.5 tablespoons of oat bran in a bowl. Add 1.5 tablespoons of non-fat fromage frais or cork and 1 egg white or a whole egg if you do not have any cholesterol problems. Sweeten with 1 tablespoon of aspartame or add a little salt according to your taste. Mix all the ingredients thoroughly and pour onto a non-stick pan that has been greased beforehand with a few drops of oil, then wiped with kitchen paper. Cook for 2 to 3 minutes on each side. The galettes keep for at least a week in the fridge, but wrap them in foil or cling film so that they do not dry out. You can also freeze them, as they will not lose their taste, texture or nutritional value. Most of my patients eat their galette first thing, so that they avoid feeling famished mid-morning. Others eat them for lunch, with a nice slice of smoked salmon or some thinly sliced dried beef. Other patients have them late afternoon, at the danger hour when cravings can overtake them, or even after supper, when they want to rummage around in cupboards to find a final treat before bedtime. If you would like some more oat bran-based ideas, look on www.allaboutoatbran.com for a whole range of recipes for crepes, muffins, cakes, pizza bases and oat bran bread. It should be noted that oat bran galettes are a fantastic weapon against bulimia. My slimming program is, of course, not for bulimia sufferers, but there may be some who are listening to this book, and I know from using oat bran regularly with my patients that can help them greatly, and that they can prepare as many galettes as they want, however they want with the flavours they like, and that this will help them avoid their worst crises when they can consume huge amounts of calories from very poor quality food. But even if a person is not bulimic, it is possible to go through difficult periods when irrepressible cravings can put paid to a carefully designed and structured slimming phase. In such unusual circumstances, for a day or two, and I really do mean for a day or two, you can eat more oat bran and up to 3 galettes per day. Extras. Skimmed milk, either fresh, in cartons or powdered, is allowed and can improve the taste and the consistency of tea or coffee. It can also be used to make sauces, cream desserts, custard tarts and many other dishes. sugar is not allowed, but aspartame, the best-known and most widely used sweetener in the world, is perfectly acceptable and can be used without restriction, even by pregnant women, which proves just how harmless it is. Vinegar, spices, herbs, thyme, garlic, parsley, onion, shallots, etc., are not only allowed but highly recommended. Using them brings out the flavour of foods and heightens their sensory value. These oral sensations trigger our nervous system, which is responsible for whether we feel full or not, contributing to our feeling of being satisfied. To be clear, I am saying quite simply that spices are not just taste enhancers, which in itself is no small achievement, but that they are foods that encourage weight loss. What certain spices, such as vanilla or cinnamon, do is offer their warm and reassuring taste in exchange for sugary flavours. Others, such as coriander, curry powder, Colombo powder, otherwise known as Caribbean curry spice, and cloves, can cut down the need for salt, especially for women who suffer from water retention, who want to add salt to everything, even before they have even tasted it. Gherkins, as well as pickled onions, are allowed, as long as they are condiments. If eaten in too large a quantity, they become a vegetable, and outside the attack phase's pure protein requirement. Lemons can be used to flavour fish or seafood, but cannot be consumed as lemon juice or lemonade, even without sugar, because although sour, lemons are still a source of sugar, and are therefore incompatible with the programme's first two phases, the attack and cruise phases. Mustard and salt are acceptable, but must be used in moderation. This is particularly true when it comes to water retention, common among teenage girls whose periods are irregular, and in premenopausal women or women following hormone treatment. There are salt-free mustards and low-sodium diet salts if you want to use them liberally. Ordinary ketchup is not allowed because it is both very salty and very sweet. But there are sugar-free natural ketchups that can be used in moderation, and there are high-quality tomato purees, such as the famous Heinz varieties, that turn into a real treat with just a little flavouring and spicing up, without any of that sweet aftertaste which does not go well with meats. Chewing gum deserves better than this single entry in the extras category. To my mind, it is extremely useful in the fight against weight problems, and especially so during my program's first two slimming phases, the attack and cruise phases. I do not usually eat gum myself, as chewing is not elegant. But if I am overstressed, I do have some then. Bruxism is what dentists call the nighttime habit of grinding your teeth until the enamel is worn down. And, as a lot of overweight people often eat under stress, chewing gum can slow down this mechanical swing towards eating whenever you feel under pressure. What is more, a mouth that is busy chewing gum cannot take or chew anything else, so this is a technique for keeping your mouth full. Moreover, there are some sugar-free chewing gums that are absolutely delicious and packed with different flavours, sometimes intense and stimulating flavours. Many scientific studies have also proved at regular intervals how useful chewing gum is when battling against weight problems, diabetes, and even tooth decay. What should we think about the nutritional content of sugar-free chewing gum, and which one should we choose? Of course, we are only talking here about so-called sugar-free gum. What this means is that there is no white table sugar or sucrose, but the sweeteners used are still sugars and contain almost as many calories as the white variety. Fortunately, their ability to sweeten is hundreds of times more powerful than that of ordinary sugar. They are absorbed in the stomach and assimilated very slowly indeed, and they have very little effect on insulin and fat storage. Select your sugar-free chewing gum according to taste, but go for the ones whose flavour lasts longest in your mouth. All oil is forbidden. Even though olive oil, justifiably, has a reputation for protecting the heart and arteries, it is still oil, and pure lipids have no place in a pure protein diet. Apart from these extras, and the food categories just described, you may eat nothing else. All the rest, anything that is not explicitly mentioned on this list is forbidden during the attack diet's relatively brief kickstart period. Concentrate on what you are allowed to eat and forget the rest. Make sure you get enough variety and pick ingredients for your meals in any order you want so as to keep things interesting. And do not ever forget that all the foods allowed and on this list are for you, really and truly for you. Some general advice. Eat as often as you like. Do not forget that the secret of this diet is to eat a lot and to eat before hunger strikes so that you avoid succumbing to a tempting food not on the list. Never skip meals. This is a bad mistake that often stems from good intentions, but which can, little by little, destabilize your diet. Whatever you save by not eating one meal, you not only make up for it by eating more at the next, but your body reverses this initial economy by increasing the profit it gets out of the next meal, by extracting every last calorie. Furthermore, if you suppress and fuel your hunger, you will be driven towards more comforting foods, forcing you to rely increasingly on your willpower to resist, and eventually the strain will undermine even your best intentions. Drink whenever you eat. For some strange reason, an outdated piece of advice from the 1970s not to drink at mealtimes still remains in the public mind. This idea holds no interest for ordinary mortals and can be harmful for those on a diet, particularly a pure protein diet, because not drinking at mealtimes may make you forget to drink at all. Drinking at mealtimes also increases gastric volume and makes you feel full and satisfied. Finally, water dilutes food and slows down its absorption so that you feel satiated for longer. Do not run out of the foods you need for your diet. Always have to hand or in your fridge a wide choice of the 8 food categories that are going to become your best friends and favourite foods. Take them with you whenever you go out, because unlike lipids and carbohydrates, most protein foods require some preparation, and they do not keep as long as, say, biscuits or chocolate in a cupboard or drawer. Before you eat something, check it is on the list. Just to be extra sure, keep this list with you during the first week. It is simple and can be summed up in a few words: lean meats, offal, poultry, lean ham, all fish and seafood, eggs, non-fat dairy products, and water. Breakfast. Breakfast is an important meal in our pure protein diet. Coffee or tea, sweetened with aspartame if you like, with or without skimmed milk, and enjoyed with a non-fat yogurt, boiled egg, a slice of turkey or light ham, is much better nutritionally than a pastry or chocolate-flavoured cereal. And it is also more satisfying and stimulating. Breakfast is the perfect time to cook your oat bran galette. If you are in too much of a hurry to make the galette, you can eat the oat bran as porridge by mixing a tablespoon of bran with some hot milk sweetened with aspartame, or mix it with yogurt to give it a cereal taste and a thicker texture. Take care. During this attack phase, you must not exceed the daily dose of 1.5 tablespoons of oat bran so as not to disrupt the specific action of the proteins. Eating in restaurants. With a little imagination, the pure protein diet is easy to follow. Fish, seafood, poultry and meat generally come in many different guises. You should be able to find some that have been prepared without any fat. You may have to ask to have your dish without the sauce. The difficulty comes afterwards when pudding fans are tempted to eat something sweet. The best strategy is to have a coffee, or you may find that some restaurants now serve low-fat dairy products. Otherwise, you can always have a non-fat yogurt or fruit yogurt in your car or at the office so that you can end your meal on a satisfying note. How long should the attack diet last? A decisive choice. This is one of the most important decisions in the Dukan diet, because this pure protein attack is not only the kickstart that gives you the initial impetus, but it also moulds and sets the tone for the program on which the 3 other diets will be based until your permanent stabilisation. Proteins are extremely dense foods that remain present for a long time in the digestive system, making us feel full. As they disintegrate during metabolism, ketone bodies are produced, which are well known for creating a feeling of satiety. These two properties mean that proteins are great for combating compulsive behaviour and introducing order into unbalanced eating habits. Finally, because it is extremely effective, this diet produces obvious and immediate results, so that you feel powerful and enthusiastic, pumping up your motivation for the long-term haul. That is why it is so important to succeed in this first stage, and to decide on its exact ideal duration. On average, the attack diet lasts 5 days. This is the time the diet needs to produce its best results, without encountering resistance from the body's metabolism before the dieter becomes weary of it. This is also the attack period that best suits the sort of weight loss that most people want to achieve, i.e. between 20 and 40 pounds. Later on, we'll cover the results you should achieve if you follow this diet correctly. For less ambitious weight loss under 20 pounds, a 3-day attack best suits this goal, as it allows you to proceed effortlessly to the alternating proteins phase. For a weight loss under 10 pounds, if you would rather avoid an all-too-rapid start, a single day may be enough. This first day, the opening day, heralds a new start, takes your body by surprise, and produces an astonishing weight loss that is enough to encourage you to get started with the diet program. For serious cases of obesity, in very rare cases, when the target is to lose over 40 pounds, when motivation is really intense, or when previous experiences with other diets have always resulted in the lost weight being regained, this phase may last 7 days, or even as long as 10 days. But only after medical advice has been taken, and on the express condition that enough fluids are drunk throughout the entire period. How the body reacts during the pure protein diet. The surprise effect and the need to adapt to a new way of eating. The first day of the attack diet is one of adaptation and combat. Of course, the door is open to many categories of popular and tasty foods, but it is firmly closed to other categories that the overweight are in habit of eating without thinking about just how many and the quantities they consume. If you feel restricted, and this can overwhelm the less motivated, then the best remedy is to take full advantage of this diet. It's the first diet that allows you to eat as much as you want of foods as dense and prized as beef, veal, fish of every kind, including smoked salmon, tinned tuna, haddock, surimi or crab sticks, oysters, prawns, boiled eggs, low-fat ham, fat-free yogurts, and the whole endless variety of non-fat dairy products. On the first day, eat more than you would normally. Make up for the foods you cannot eat with the quantity of foods you can have. And above all, organize yourself so that you always have all these vital foods to hand, available at all times in your fridge and cupboards. Also, by drinking more water than you have ever drunk before, you will feel as if there is something there and more satisfied. You'll need to go to the loo more often because, not being used to drinking so much, your kidneys will be forced to open their valves and eliminate. This drainage will relieve waterlogged tissues, more common in women, particularly in the thighs, legs and ankles, fingers, swollen to trap rings which have become too tight, as well as in the face. The next morning, get on your scales and you will be amazed by your first results. Weigh yourself frequently, especially during the first 3 days. From 1 hour to the next, you could see new results. Get into the habit of weighing yourself every day of your life, because while for those who put on weight, the scales are an enemy, they are a friend and just reward for anyone who loses weight, and any weight loss, no matter how tiny, will be your best incentive. You might feel a little tired during the first 2 days and not up to prolonged activity. This is the surprise period, when your body is burning up calories without counting or resisting, so it is not the right time to push it to extremes. Avoid hard physical exercise, competitive sports, and in particular, skiing at high altitude. If you already do some gentle gymnastics, jogging or swimming, keep this up, But whatever you do, make sure you walk for 20 minutes a day, as this is an integral part of the program. As you will see in the chapter on exercise, these 20 minutes are not just recommended, they are prescribed, and this means they are non-negotiable. By the third day, your tiredness will disappear, and is usually replaced by a sense of euphoria and dynamic energy, further reinforced by the encouraging messages on your scales. Bad breath and a dry mouth. These symptoms are not just specific to a protein diet, but to any weight loss diet, although they will be more evident here than in more gradual diets. They are a sign that you are losing weight, and as such you should welcome them as proof of success. You can ease them by drinking more. After the fourth day, expect some constipation. For those who are already prone to constipation, and those who do not drink enough, this is even more likely. For others, bowel movements may simply be less frequent, but do not take this as a sign of constipation. It is just a reduction in the amount of waste due to the low fibre content of proteins, and because you are not yet allowed to eat foods that contain the most fibre, such as vegetables and fruit. If this bothers you, buy some wheat bran flakes and add a tablespoonful along with your oat bran to your galette, or to your dairy products. Above all, drink as much as is recommended, because water not only makes you urinate, but it also softens the stools, improving intestinal contractions and digestion. If you suffer from real constipation, this is unpleasant, and you must do something about it. Your pharmacist can offer advice and may recommend some natural products based on fruit fibres such as prunes. If this is not enough, then you need to see your doctor. Try to resist the temptation to take laxatives, which are too aggressive and which you eventually become used to. So, although they work temporarily, you have to increase the dosage. Hunger disappears after the third day. If you do not eat any sugar, this surprising disappearance is linked to the increased release of ketonic cells, the most powerful natural hunger suppressants. For anyone who is not a big fish and meat eater, weariness sets in, and monotony has a marked effect on their appetite. Hunger pangs and cravings for sugar disappear completely. The quantity of protein consumed, considerable over these first days, gradually decreases. Should you take vitamins? I do recommend this, but it is hardly compulsory for such a short period of only 3 to 5 days. On the other hand, if the cruise diet has to deal with a major weight problem and is to last some time, it is a good idea to take multivitamins. But do avoid taking too many different ones and mixing them unwisely, as this could have a toxic effect. In practice, it is preferable to simply eat foods packed with vitamins or brewer's yeast. As soon as vegetables are allowed, you can have mixed salads with plenty of lettuce, raw peppers, tomatoes, carrots and cucumbers. What results can I expect from the attack diet? General factors of resistance or facilitation. The weight loss the pure protein diet produces is the most you could hope for in such a short period of time with a diet consisting of real food. It produces the same results as a protein powder diet, or even total fasting, without any of their main drawbacks. Nevertheless, the weight loss depends on how many extra pounds you have at the outset. Obviously, someone who weighs over 200 pounds is going to shed those first pounds more easily than someone just wanting to lose a few extra pounds before going on holiday. Some people have also been vaccinated against dieting by their previous failures with other diets. Age is significant too. For women, hormones play such an important role during puberty, after pregnancy, with oral contraception, and, I cannot emphasize this too strongly, during the menopause and postmenopause, and peaking especially with any temporary or prolonged hormone therapy treatment. For a 5-day pure protein attack diet. This is generally the most popular and most effective time span, and usually the weight lost varies between 4 and 7 pounds. It may reach 8 or even 10 pounds for someone who is very overweight, especially an active man, or, at worst, it may only be a couple of pounds for a menopausal woman on hormones who is prone to water retention and oedema. You should also be aware that a woman's body retains water for 3 to 4 days before her period starts. This retention reduces the elimination of waste and stops the combustion of fat, momentarily reducing the diet's effectiveness and blocking weight loss. It is important to realize that before a period starts, the weight loss process has not been interrupted, just camouflaged and delayed by water retention, and that it will resume 2 or 3 days after the period. If not properly explained and understood, this premenstrual plateau can make women despair, as they understandably think that all their efforts have been in vain, undermining their determination and prompting them to give the diet up. So please, always wait until the end of your period before taking such a decision, because as soon as you eliminate the water, your low tide, after the premenstrual high tide, is when you often see the scales go down at a dizzying rate. If you have to get up and go to the loo several times in the course of one night, you might even lose 2 to 4 pounds. If the attack phase lasts just 3 days, you can expect to lose between 2 and 5 pounds. For a single first-day attack, often people lose around 2 pounds, because the surprise effect is always greatest on the first day. Attack diet summary. During this period, which can vary between 1 and 10 days, depending on your circumstances, you have unlimited access to the food categories listed below. From these categories, you can eat all you want, without any restriction, at whatever time of day. Think of it as an all-day, eat-as-much-as-you-want buffet. You are also free to mix and match these foods. The watchword is very simple and non-negotiable. You can have everything on the list without exception. Everything that is not on the list is banned. So forget about those foods for the moment, knowing that very soon you will have them all again. 1. Lean meats, beef, except ribs and ribeye. Veal, grilled or roasted, without oil or fat. 2. Offal, kidneys, liver, beef, tongue, just the tip. 3. All poultry, except duck and goose, but without the skin. 4. All fish, fatty, lean, white, oily, raw or cooked. 5. All shellfish. 6. Low-fat ham, sliced low-fat chicken and pork. 7. Eggs. 8. Non-fat dairy products. 9. At least 1.5 litres of water with a low salt content. 10. The oat bran galette, or 1.5 tablespoons of oat bran added to milk or a dairy product. 11. A compulsory 20-minute walk per day. 12. Extras. Coffee, tea, vinegar, flavourings, spices, herbs, pickles, lemon, not lemonade, salt and mustard, in moderation. Apart from these extras and the main food categories described, eat nothing else. All the rest, anything and everything that is not expressly mentioned on this list, is forbidden during the relatively brief period of time that the attack phase lasts. Therefore, concentrate on everything you are allowed to have and forget the rest. Vary your meals. Mix and match in whatever order. Make your menus interesting, and never forget that you can have as much as you want of all the foods on this list. The cruise phase, the protein plus vegetable diet. At the end of the attack phase, the Dukan diet is underway and the alternating protein diet begins, the cruise phase, which will take you straight to your chosen weight. This phase actually consists of 2 alternating diets. One day, the protein plus vegetable diet, and then the pure protein diet, and so on until you reach your target weight. Having examined in detail how the pure protein attack diet works, now let's look at the protein plus vegetable diet. Here again, as with the attack phase, there is not a standard version of the alternating rhythm of the 2 diets for everyone, but it is adapted to each person and situation based on the factors that I will describe shortly. For a long time, the rhythm I used most frequently was the 5-5 alternating rhythm. 5 days of proteins plus vegetables with 5 days of pure proteins. With time, and especially for people wanting to lose over 20 pounds, I have slowly come round to the 1-1 alternating rhythm with a single day of proteins plus vegetables followed by a single day of pure proteins. My own statistics showed that at the end of the first month, the weight loss for both groups was the same, and this was perfectly understandable since after 30 days, each group had had 15 days of proteins and 15 days of proteins plus vegetables. But more decisively, over the long term, the risk of tiring of the 5-5 alternating rhythm was greater than for the 1-1 alternating rhythm. Through meeting readers and studying their letters, I have observed that the majority have always gone for the most radical solutions, such as 7 to 10 days of attack and then the 5-5 alternating rhythm. This confirms one of my most persistent observations as a practitioner, that when an overweight person who has resisted the idea of dieting for a long time feels motivated to suddenly start dieting, they know perfectly well that the force that has suddenly taken them over is as powerful as it is fragile, and that the best way to maintain it is to follow as closely as possible instructions that are as precise, simple, focused, concrete, and non-negotiable as possible. For this reason, I am asking you to trust me and to follow this cruise phase using the 1-1 alternating rhythm. By the time you finish the protein-only attack diet, especially after 5 whole days, you really start to sorely miss one particular food category: vegetables, raw or cooked, which is great because this is just the right time to introduce them. I will state this clearly. Everything that was allowed in the pure protein diet is still allowed, with the same freedom of quantity, time of day and combinations. Just do not make the mistake of eating only vegetables and no proteins. Vegetables you can and cannot eat. From now on, as well as protein-rich foods, you are allowed all cooked or raw vegetables, and here again, without restriction regarding quantity, time of day or combination. You can eat tomatoes, cucumbers, radishes, spinach, asparagus, leeks, green beans, cabbage, mushrooms, celery, fennel, and all types of salads, aubergines, courgettes, peppers, and even carrots and beetroot, provided you do not have them at every meal. Vegetables considered to be starchy foods are, however, forbidden. Potatoes, rice, corn, fresh or dried peas, beans and lentils. Avocado is also forbidden. It is not a vegetable but a fruit, and a very fatty, oleaginous fruit into the bargain, although many people eat them, mistaking them for green vegetables. How should these vegetables be prepared? Raw or cooked? For everyone who can digest raw vegetables, it is always preferable to eat vegetables when they are fresh and uncooked, so that you do not lose any of the vitamins they contain. The problem with dressings. They may appear harmless, but dressings are a major problem for weight loss diets. Indeed, many people base their diet around salads and crudités, which are low in calories and rich in fibre and vitamins. This is perfectly true, but do not forget that it is the dressing that upsets the balance of these good qualities. Let's take a simple example. In an ordinary salad bowl containing 2 heads of lettuce and 2 tablespoons of oil, the salad accounts for 20 calories and the oil for 280 calories. The calories sneak in craftily, which is why so many diets based on mixed salads fail, because they forget to take into account the calories contained in the dressings. We also need to clear up the ambiguity concerning olive oil. Even though this now legendary oil, symbol of the Mediterranean lifestyle, is recognized as protecting us against cardiovascular disease, it is no less rich in calories than any other oil on the market. For these reasons, during the first 2 actual slimming phases, the attack and cruise phases, it is crucial that you avoid preparing green vegetables, cooked or raw, with a sauce or dressing that contains more than a teaspoon of vegetable oil. Vinaigrette. Here is an easy, flavoursome vinaigrette that uses a tiny amount of oil. Take an old empty mustard jar and put in it 1 tablespoon of mustard, Dijon, or even better, French Meux à l'ancienne with its tiny mustard seeds, 5 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 1 teaspoon of vegetable oil, salt and freshly ground black pepper. If you like garlic, add a large clove to marinate in the bottom of the jar, together with 7 or 8 basil leaves. If you do not like balsamic vinegar, that is a pity, as it is more appealing to the senses, but you can select another one, just use a little less. 4 tablespoons for wine, sherry or raspberry vinegar, and 3 for spirit vinegar. You must understand that vinegar is a condiment that can play a major role in any diet. An interesting paradox has recently been discovered, that man can distinguish 4 universal flavours, sweet, salty, bitter and sour. Yet vinegar is the only substance in man's food list to provide the precious and rare sour taste. What is more, recent studies have also demonstrated the impact that oral sensation, the quantity and the variety of flavours has on producing the feeling of satisfaction and fullness. For example, we know today that certain spices, such as cloves, ginger, turmeric, star anise and cardamom, provide extreme flavours. They bring together strong, penetrating sensations that work on the hypothalamus, the area in our brain that measures these sensations until the feeling of satiety is triggered. So it is very important to use as wide a range of spices and as much as possible, preferably at the start of a meal. And if you are not already a great fan, to try and get used to them. Yogurt dressing. It is also easy to make a savoury sauce with non-fat dairy products. You can even use natural yogurt if you prefer. It is creamier than non-fat yogurt and just a touch more calorific. Add a tablespoon of mustard, Dijon if possible, and beat the mixture together until it has the consistency of mayonnaise. Add a dash of vinegar and some salt and pepper and herbs. Vegetables as a cooked garnish. Now is your chance to use green beans, spinach, leeks and cabbage of all varieties, mushrooms, braised greens, fennel and celery. These vegetables can be cooked in water, boiled, or even better, steamed, to retain the maximum amount of vitamins. You can also bake them in the oven, in the juice from your meat or fish, like classic dishes such as sea bass with fennel, sea bream with tomatoes, or beef stuffed cabbage. Finally, cooking en papillote in aluminium foil combines all the advantages as far as nutrition and taste are concerned. It is particularly suitable for preparing fish, in particular salmon, which remains tender when cooked on a bed of leeks or aubergines. Introducing vegetables after the pure protein phase brings freshness and variety to the initial attack diet. Things are easier, even comfortable. Now it is practical to start a meal off with a salad, well-seasoned, rich in colour and flavour. Or in winter with a soup, followed by a meat or fish dish, gently stewed with flavoursome and fragrant vegetables. How many vegetables are you allowed? In principle, quantity is not limited. But it is wise not to go beyond common sense simply to take advantage of the fact that you are not restricted. I know patients who eat huge mixed salads without even feeling hungry, chomping through their meal as if they had a mouthful of chewing gum. Beware of this, because vegetables are not that harmless. Eat until you no longer feel hungry, but do not keep going. This does not alter the rule that quantities are unrestricted, which is at the heart of my program and by extension of my method. Whatever quantity you eat, you will still lose weight, but at a slower and less encouraging rate. With regard to this, I want to tell you about a frequent reaction to the changeover from the strictly protein attack diet to the diet now improved by the introduction of vegetables. Very often, weight loss is spectacular during the first phase, and then when vegetables are introduced, the scales seem to get stuck and do not go down, or may even show a slight increase in pounds. Do not worry, you are not slipping backwards. So what is happening? During the attack phase, because you are eating only proteins, this has a powerful water-repellent effect. Reserve fat is lost, as well as a large quantity of water that has been stagnating in the body for a long time. This combination of eliminated water and fat explains why your scales show an impressive loss. But when vegetables are added to proteins, water having been artificially expelled is retained once more, which explains the sudden and incomprehensible stagnation. The real weight loss, which is connected to the fat, still continues, albeit reduced by the addition of vegetables. But it is being camouflaged by the return of water. Be patient, and as soon as the pure protein days return, the great water expulsion will start again, and you will see how many pounds you have really lost. You must realize, however, that this is going to be your way of life during this period of alternating diets until you reach your target weight. It is always going to be the pure protein days that get the machine moving and that are responsible for the diet's overall effectiveness. So do not be surprised to see your weight go down at regular intervals. The weight loss levels out during the vegetable days and then drops down to another level during the pure protein days, and so on. Alternating rhythm. The diet of alternating proteins, building on the momentum and speed generated by the pure protein attack diet, is now responsible for guiding you to your chosen goal. This stage will occupy the largest part of the strictly weight loss period of the Dukan diet. The rhythmical addition of vegetables greatly reduces the pure protein's impact and gives this entire second phase in the diet a kind of syncopated pace, both for organizing your meals and for the results obtained. Indeed, weight loss throughout these weeks will concentrate on the pure protein periods when your body has no means of resisting the power of the attack. But every time vegetables reappear, your body resumes control of the situation and is able to resist. So, there will be pauses interrupted by accelerations, a series of conquests followed by resting periods, all leading, in alternate sequence, nevertheless, to your end goal. What rhythm should this diet take? I have already explained this, but I will sum it up briefly. In the short term, the most effective rhythm is 5-5. 5 days of pure proteins, followed by 5 days of proteins plus vegetables. It is not the easiest one. It does start off spectacularly, but it slows down and may become wearisome with all the risks that this involves. The other solution is the 1-1 rhythm. 1 day of pure proteins, followed by 1 day of vegetables plus proteins. This alternating rhythm takes longer to get going, but in 20 days it will have caught up, and over the long term it is easier to follow and generates less frustration. There is a third way which is suitable if you only have a little weight to lose, the 2-7 rhythm, i.e., 2 days of pure proteins on Mondays and Thursdays, and then 5 days of proteins plus vegetables. Finally, there is a variation on the 2-7 rhythm, the 2-0, i.e., 2 days of pure proteins per week on Mondays and Thursdays, followed by 5 normal days of no particular diet, but avoiding any extremes. This is the diet that best suits some women with cellulite, who are slim on top but heavy around the hips and the thighs especially. This diet, especially if combined with treatment for those specific areas, mesotherapy, together with sufficient doses of Centella Asiatica or Gutacola, gives the best results for problem areas while sparing the upper body as much as possible. Oat bran. During the cruise phase, the amount of oat bran you should eat is 2 tablespoons per day, prepared in the same way as for the attack phase. Exercise. A 30-minute walk. If you are on a stagnation plateau, increase this to a 60-minute walk for 4 days, just till you break through this plateau. How much weight can you expect to lose? For those who are significantly overweight, by 40 pounds or more, the loss is difficult to predict week by week, but experience has shown that one can expect to lose around 2 pounds a week. During the first half of the diet, the loss will be greater, between 3 and 4 pounds at the start, which means you can lose the first 20 pounds in approximately 2 months. Beyond the first 2 months, the curve decreases progressively because of a metabolic defense mechanism that I will explain in further detail when we come to the consolidation phase, the third stage of the programme. The curve then flattens at just over £2 per week, before dipping below the psychological barrier of £2, with odd periods of stagnation for women with premenstrual syndrome, or if there is any binging. On this subject, you need to know that the body puts up little resistance to the loss of the first few pounds. It has a greater reaction when the plundering of its reserves becomes more threatening. In theory, this would be just the moment to step up your diet. But in practice, the very opposite often occurs. The strongest willpower sometimes weakens in the face of long-suppressed temptations, and invitations to eat out that were once declined are now accepted. But the real threat comes from elsewhere. The loss of the first 20 pounds brings general visible improvement, shape and suppleness return, breathlessness disappears, compliments come by the dozen, and you have the satisfaction of getting back into clothes that did not fit before. Add to all this the classic excuse of just this once, and your wonderful strong determination from the early days suddenly makes way for binging, followed by a return to drastic dieting, creating a chaotic yo-yoing situation that soon becomes dangerous. It is in such circumstances that the overweight person, victorious up until now, risks resting on their laurels, stagnating, and ending up abandoning their goal. You have to realise that in the middle of the race, crossing the dangerous territory of weariness and self-satisfaction that are part of any prolonged diet, half of all the dieters fall into this trap and let everything slip away. In this event, there are three ways to react. You can abandon the diet, sink into complacency, and succumb to compulsive behaviour patterns, but with a deep sense of failure that means you quickly put the pounds back on, often going far beyond what you started out with. Or you can get back on track after finding your second wind, going back to the attack diet, and sticking with it until your set goal is attained. Or you can admit that you feel incapable of going any further, but that you are ready to do whatever it takes to preserve what you have achieved so far. To do this, stop this weight loss phase of the Dukan diet and go directly to the consolidation phase, which has a much more varied choice of food, and it is easy to work out how long it lasts. 5 days for every pound you have lost. Then go to the stabilization phase, where you are allowed a completely free choice of food with just 1 day per week of the pure protein diet. How long should the diet last? The cruise diet is the most strategic and key time in the slimming period, the one which will take you to your goal, your true weight. It is what comes into play after the opening salvo of the attack phase and leads directly to the desired weight determined from the start. If we look at a case of real obesity with over 40 pounds to lose, if there were no other particular difficulties involved, we might hope to shed that weight over 20 weeks of the alternating diet, i.e. in a little under 5 months. When the problem is more difficult, either for psychological reasons, little self-discipline or weak motivation, or for physiological reasons, such as a tendency to obesity in the family, or due to personal experience, a history of having dieted many times with bad diets, or diets not followed properly, or simply abandoned midway. Or finally, for women going through dangerous times as far as their hormones are concerned, during pre-puberty, when periods are chaotic, pregnancy and above all, during premenopause and menopause, and especially if taking hormone replacement therapy that is not well managed. In all these cases, weight loss will be slowed down and will require specific adjustments. Even so, even in difficult cases, the spirit of the attack phase is so strong and the pace of the first 2 or 3 weeks so intense that most resistance and inhibitions are overcome, resulting generally in a loss of 8 to 10 pounds. This is the point where old demons can reappear to slow things down. The patient, predisposed to being excessively overweight, will fall in less than a month under the threshold of losing 2 pounds a week and reach an acceptable pace of 6 to 7 pounds a month for 2 to 3 months. This, added to the initial loss, brings us to about 30 pounds. At this stage, the loss per month will be further reduced to around £4 or perhaps £3 a month. The question asked is simple. Is this all worth it? More often than not, the answer is no. Except in the case of formal medical advice concerning the threat of diabetes, or severe and inoperable arthritis, or an imperative personal reason, it is preferable not to continue and undermine the results obtained, but rather to consolidate and stabilise. We can wait for better days, for a return to a state where the body is calm and can attain the goal set at the very beginning. The results are £35 lost during 4 months following the alternating protein diet. If you are not very motivated or lack willpower, you're in a worse position. You will also lose the first £8 to £10, but the temptation to give up will rear its head straight away. In the best case scenario, if you can count on those around you and your doctor helping you, you can expect to lose another £10 in 5 weeks, and then quickly go on to the consolidation phase, and even more quickly to the stabilisation phase, where you will have to agree to eat proteins only for just 1 day a week for the rest of your life. You have to accept this now, before you even start this programme. Overall result? £22 in 2.5 months using the alternating protein diet. For those who are immune to dieting because they followed poor diets badly in the past, here is the best solution. The attack diet acts like a bulldozer, pushing aside all resistance. You too will lose £12 during the first 3 weeks, but if you follow the instructions precisely for the program, you will also continue to lose weight without interruption until you actually lose almost £45 in 6 months using the alternating protein diet. Not very different to the easy case, because your immunity to dieting from your previous diets only affects the proteins with vegetables phases, not the pure protein periods. And you can always start the Dukan diet again later without any risk of growing weary. Women approaching the menopause, who go through the premenopause, then the actual menopause, and face that time in their life when they are most at risk of putting on weight, and especially so if they already have some extra pounds. While going through this long tunnel, which may last 10 years or so, from the age of 42 to 52, women have excessive, then dissociated hormonal surges, which sometimes suddenly fade away under an avalanche of hot flushes. However, as paradoxical as it may seem, among these women who have a hard time with all this psychological torment, the most determined and dogged fighters are to be found, and you can rely on them to continue right to the end of their diet come what may. For these women, even losing the first few pounds in the attack phase is a major undertaking. That is why it is vital for them to get their hormone balance under control before starting this program. This is a matter for the gynecologist or family doctor. Keep in mind that weight gain during the menopause is not irreversible, though it is a difficult period to go through. You will, if armed and ready, get past this difficult stage in 6 months to a year. If you are taking hormone replacement therapy, and it is well managed, by, for example, starting off with light doses and progressively increasing to whatever best suits you, this is the best way to effectively lose weight. In short, without supervised hormone therapy, it can take up to a year to lose around £45, which may seem a long time, but there are many women who manage it. With specialist, well-supervised help, choosing natural hormones and, if necessary, anti-aldosterone, which facilitates the elimination of edema, these £45 can be lost in 6 to 7 months using the alternating protein diet. Crew's diet summary. Keep eating all the attack diet foods and add the following vegetables, raw or cooked, without restricting quantities, combinations or time of day. Tomatoes, cucumbers, radishes, spinach, asparagus, leeks, French beans, cabbage, mushrooms, celery, fennel, all salad greens including chicory, Swiss chard, aubergine, courgette, peppers. You can even include carrots, beetroot and artichokes, provided you do not eat them at every meal. Throughout this cruise phase, you will alternate periods of proteins with vegetables with periods without any vegetables until you reach your desired weight. Please take note. If by following my program you reach this point on your roadmap, you will have achieved your true weight. Well done. You should realize that as far as the history of your weight is concerned, you are at the point of no return. Going by my statistics, it is my duty to tell you that 50% of readers stop here. They consider themselves cured. They forget that there is still two other phases to finish, which alone will ensure that their new weight is maintained over the long term, over a very long time. All those who are impatient will, without exception, put the weight back on, or get caught up in chaotic eating that can only end in failure. So you have been warned. The other 50% of my readers do not stop here, and they follow me into the consolidation phase. 85% of them go right to the end and achieve a consolidated weight. This is better, but not good enough. Only those who go on into the fourth and final permanent stabilization phase and follow it achieve the single goal that counts, being cured of being overweight. I hope with all my heart, dear listener, that you will not stop here and that you will continue to the very end of our joint undertaking. Otherwise, I will have done what has been done for the past 60 years. I will have brought you with me into the desert and abandoned you just before you reach the oasis. The diet that consolidates the weight lost, a crucial transition phase. You have now arrived at your true weight, or at the weight you considered acceptable and set as your goal at the start, or at a weight you want to settle for as acceptable or a half victory. Because you know that the effort involved in going further is too much and risks jeopardizing what you have achieved so far. The time of rigorous constraints is over, and you are at last on flat terrain. You and your body have made a prolonged effort, and you have been rewarded. But to rest on your laurels now is very dangerous. You have reached a weight that suits you, but this weight that you have achieved does not really quite belong to you yet. You are like a traveller whose train has just pulled into the station to briefly stop in a town. It feels like home to you even though you know nothing about this place and have never lived there. It could all go either way. The train might leave at any time with you aboard. But if you decide to stay, you still have to unload your bags, find somewhere to stay, a job and friends. It's the same situation with the weight you have just lost. Your new weight will truly be yours if you take the time to control it, and if you put in the minimum effort required to preserve it. Get rid of the illusion that you have at last finally taken care of your weight problem and can now go back to your old ways. That will be catastrophic because the same causes lead to the same effects, and in no time at all you will be back to your old weight. I do not mean that you have to continue forever with the aggressive diet that you have just followed. Who would agree to that? Anyway, the extra pounds that made you follow this diet in the first place, especially if a substantial, or worse, a recurring problem, were certainly no accident. Whether in your genes or an acquired habit, there is something written inside you, a bit like the information on a hard disk that will not disappear. So now, you have to find a way forward that restricts you as little as possible, and incorporate it into your routine, so that you do not put any weight back on. There is a way of doing this, and it will be the theme of the fourth phase of the program, the ultimate stabilization diet. But you are not there yet, because your body is still adapting to the constraints of dieting over the past few months. You are still predisposed to gain weight, and this tendency is now actually heightened by your body's defense impulse, as it thinks that it has been robbed of its reserves. What you need to do is to make peace with your body, which is just waiting for the opportunity to replenish those reserves. This is the objective of this next phase, where you consolidate the weight lost and which, when completed, will open the door to every dieter's dream. Permanent stabilization at little cost and the one-day-a-week answer that will be the theme of the final stage of the Dukan diet. But to be completely ready to start this consolidation stage, you have to understand why you are still too vulnerable, and your body too exasperated and too prone to weight rebound for you to move straight to the stabilization phase. After this brief and vital theoretical explanation, we will look in detail at how you follow this consolidation phase in practice, the new foods it involves, and how long it lasts. The weight rebound reaction. When a body has lost a good number of pounds through effective dieting, several reactions conspire to put the weight back on. How do we explain such reactions?